Welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza on this live broadcast from Washington. Here are some of the top stories making news across Sudan and South Sudan this Wednesday, September 13, 2023. The acting mayor of South Sudan's capital, Juba, is under fire for slapping a woman on camera.
The resolution of the House on this matter, in which the acting mayor violated the rights, used his power to slap, beat a woman.
And some civil society activists in South Sudan are demanding for the protection of victims of abuses.
The consultations are still ongoing in the refugee camps. We sent our first-class team to Ethiopia, Asosa, and they have just come back on forth to the country.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Human Rights Watch and 50 other rights organizations are calling on the UN Security Council to take action and stop the conflict in Sudan. The rights groups say after more than 5 months of fighting, abuses are rising and civilians are facing widespread attacks. For VOA News, Michael Atit reports from Juba.
The rights groups say journalists and human rights defenders are being silenced and the United Nations Security Council has not passed a single resolution to address the ongoing crisis. In a statement released today, Tirana Hassan, the executive director at Human Rights Watch, says the international community should address an unfolding disaster in Sudan. The statement further said, quote, "Sexual violence is rising, civilians are facing widespread, deliberate and indiscriminate attacks, and journalists and human rights defenders are being silenced." The Sudanese government has threatened to boycott the Security Council session if the UN Secretary General's representative to Sudan, Volker Perthes, will present a report on Sudan. The Human Rights Watch said over 20 million people, 42% of Sudan's population, face acute food insecurity and 6 million are just a step away from famine. A former Sudanese diplomat, Salah Duma, says the behavior of the Sudanese military leaders might lead the country to more international isolation. Speaking to VOA, Al-Duma says the international community needs to intervene and rescue Sudanese civilians.
Sudan will demolish and will be destroyed as a country, and it will be an area for other terrorist groups and other militias.
Al-Duma says Sudan's military leaders should agree to dialogue and stop shedding the blood of innocent civilians. He says he believes Friends of Sudan have a crucial role to play by convincing the rival parties to accept dialogue.
This problem can be solved only by maintaining more pressure from the friends of the Sudan, like Saudi Arabia, USA, and other countries against the leaders of this bandit who are ruling Sudan by using the force.
The executive director of Human Rights Watch says in the face of mounting atrocities in Sudan, the Security Council has neglected its responsibility to respond. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Juba.
Still in Juba, Still on Sudan, the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization, FAO, has launched a plan to assist at least 10 million Sudanese farmers, herders, and fishermen. The plan aims to address the threat of food insecurity in the country, which has worsened by a five-month-old armed conflict. Mohammed Yusuf reports from Nairobi.
The Food and Agriculture Organization's 12-month program aims to improve the livelihoods of Sudanese farmers, herders and fisher communities impacted by the ongoing war. The FAO will add to recent seed distribution efforts to enhance food production with the hope of feeding 13 to 19 million people in coming months. Abdul Hakim El-Wair is the FAO regional representative for the Near East and North Africa. He says that the emergency livelihood response plan is designed to combat hunger and poverty in Sudan.
The ELRP aims to mitigate the impact of the recent conflict on vulnerable people, address their immediate needs, and enhance their ability to recover and strengthen their resilience, besides achieving food security at its minimum level for the overall population. Agriculture remains a lifeline in Sudan.
Sudan plunged into conflict in April, sparked by a power struggle between the Sudanese armed forces and the paramilitary group Rapid Support Forces. The conflict has killed thousands of people, displaced millions, and prompted millions more to seek refuge in neighboring countries in search of food, medicine, and shelter. The FAO program intends to support farmers, herders, and fishers across 17 states in the country. Mohamed Abdul Rahman, a farmer in Sudan's Upper Nile State, expressed optimism about the assistance.
I think this will help and will help us and will make others be encouraged to look and run after such kind of help and organize themselves in the first place. But I think the condition is demanding, is needed seriously. The Sudanese people need help from the international community, because really they lose their government.
Aid agencies say during Sudan's dry season, which runs from November to May, farmers reliant on rainfall face food shortages, while livestock owners are faced with water and pasta shortages. Leading to threatened livelihoods. According to the Integrated Food Security Phase projections published last month, more than 20.3 million Sudanese are food insecure, with 6 million suffering from emergency levels of acute hunger. Abdul Rahman says that Sudanese farmers require more than just seeds to produce food.
But I don't think that's enough, because the farmers need more than the seeds. They need money to make the preparations. They need money to go on the other agricultural activities.
The FAO said that much of the support for the vulnerable farming and herding households will be delivered through cash assistance and livelihood input packages, including seeds and agricultural, animal and fishing tools. El Wair says the successful execution of their plan could prevent a humanitarian crisis and famine in Sudan.
The FAO does not supply food directly to individuals, but supply seeds and agriculture inputs to farmers who are actually food producers to thousands of people. So if we reach out to 1.5 million farmers in Sudan in 14 states, we are literally providing food supplies, mainly vegetables and fruits and seeds like corn and wheat, for the large population of Sudan by the next harvest season, which will mitigate the situation and the crisis to a large extent.
The agricultural agency said it needs $123 million to achieve its goals, with the program expected to end in August 2024. Mohamed Yusuf for VA News, Nairobi.
Still on Sudan, at least 40 civilians were killed in an air raid on Sudan's western region of Darfur today, as Army Chief Abdel Fattah al-Burhan headed to Turkey, the latest stop in a series of diplomatic trips. A medical source told the French news agency AFP that the airstrike hit two markets and a number of neighborhoods in Nyalaga, capital of South Darfur. The attack came a day after a medical source reported 17 civilians were killed in Khartoum's sister city of Omdurman from shelling blamed on the paramilitary RSF forces. On Sunday, at least 51 people were killed and a dozen wounded in airstrikes on southern Khartoum, according to the United Nations Human Rights Chief Volker Turk. The region of Darfur, home to a quarter of Sudan's population, has seen some of the worst fighting in the five-month-old conflict between the regular army and the RSF that has killed an estimated 7,500 people. The conflict has uprooted more than 5 million people, including 1 million who fled across borders, according to UN figures.
So
South Sudan's National Legislative Assembly is calling on the governor of Central Equatorial State to fire the acting mayor of Juba Town for assaulting vendors. For VOA News, Viola Elias reports from Juba.
A video that went viral showed the acting mayor, Emmanuel Richard Kamis, wielding a pistol in his hand and slapping a woman on the streets of Juba. The mayor and armed police chased vendors selling mosquito nets at the 7 days Adventist runabout on Tuesday. The action of the mayor angered some South Sudanese who condemned Emmanuel Richard Kamis' actions. The National Legislative Assembly requested the governor of Central Equatorial State, Emmanuel Adil Anthony, to hold the acting mayor accountable for his action. The Speaker of National Assembly, Jema Nunu Kumba, read out Wednesday's recommendations.
The resolution of the House on this matter, in which the acting mayor violated the rights, misused his power to slap, beat a woman, that this human rights violation against women, and therefore the House resolved to recommend to the governor of Central Equatorial State to relieve the acting mayor.
Aya Benjamin Warile is the National Minister of Gender, Child and Social Welfare. She says the acting mayor violated vendors' rights, adding that it is not acceptable for a government official to assault women.
I condemn that. And even as a minister of gender, child and social welfare, we shouldn't. One is violating her rights. Whatever it was, they could have dialogue and found a solution to that. And secondly, like I said earlier, if you're in that position and you start doing that, it's like you are abusing your power, and this shouldn't be happening.
Robert Pitia, chairperson of Central Equatorial State Chamber of Commerce, says the acting mayor has no right to slap any vendor. Pitia says the Chamber of Commerce is ready to file a lawsuit against the mayor.
He is not above the law. If that person came to Chamber of Commerce and wants us to go further, we can press charges against acting mayor, because we don't want this thing to happen again. Not only to mayor, but also to traders, so that they know their rights. The Chamber of Commerce is here to protect their rights. If anyone step on someone's space, we will not leave it.
South Sudan in Focus went to the acting mayor's office for comments, but this program was told the mayor would get back to VOA. A Juba resident who prefers to be identified only as Daru for fear of reprisals says the mayor's actions are disgraceful.
If it is the power he has, is he supposed to use it like that? That is so disgracing. It means what he is doing, he's slapping a woman in a public place, and a woman is not supposed to be disgraced to that level. As a woman, I will say he does not deserve to be a leader. If he cannot respect a woman at his level, then he is not a leader. He does not have the qualities of a leader. If I were to talk to him, I would say step down.
The UN Human Rights Commission issued a statement last year calling on authorities in South Sudan to take necessary steps to stop sexual violence against women and girls by addressing impunity and the drivers of conflict and insecurity. For VOA News, I am Viola Elias in Juba.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, some South Sudanese activists demand for justice. Stay tuned for that story after the break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
how do you reward yourself?
I'll go and buy myself maybe a pair of shoes I always desire to get. I'll go and have a meal I always desire to get. Or anything. Depends on what I've achieved.
By spoiling myself. I'm a girl. I go buy myself clothes, shoes, do my hair, my nails. Basic things that will make me look good and happy at the end of the day.
I cook a good meal. I sit down with a chill drink.
My work involves very hard work, so I get very tired. So I reward myself once every month. I do that by swimming and relaxing at the beach with my family.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Some civil society activists in South Sudan say they are concerned about issues to do with transitional justice in the country. The deputy chairperson of a technical committee for the Transitional Justice Working Group says two current bills presented for discussions in the Council of Ministers have no details about the protection of victims during proceedings. For VOA News, Dimo Silva Aurelio reports from Juba.
The Ministry of Justice drafted bills for two transitional justice mechanisms and presented them to the Council of Ministers 2 weeks ago. The two bills highlighted issues of truth, reconciliation and healing, and the compensation and reparation, as outlined in Chapter 5 of the 2018 Revitalized Peace Agreement. The Civil Society Transitional Justice Working Group blames the Ministry of Justice and Constitutional Affairs for not doing a good job. Moses Opeyo, the deputy chairperson of the Technical Committee for the Transitional Justice Working Group, says the Justice Ministry intentionally skipped public views from the bills.
The consultations are still ongoing in the refugee camps. We sent our first-class team to Ethiopia, Asosa, and they have just come back and forth to the country. They have not even written their report. So we kept wondering what is the value of collecting views from the citizens of South Sudan.
David Deng, a member of the Civil Society Transitional Working Group, says the process of drafting the bills on transitional justice was not inclusive, adding that views of ordinary citizens were not included.
Our main concern is that this process is happening behind closed doors. We don't know what's in the legislation. It's been tabled in the Council of Ministers more than 2 weeks ago, yet the public consultation process is still ongoing. How do you conduct public consultations on legislation that has already been prepared? So this caused us to ask ourselves and to be concerned about whether the views of people that are being collected across South Sudan and in refugee camps, are those views really being captured within the legislation that has been tabled in the Council of Ministers?
Isaac Gabriel Awoh, the Undersecretary in the Ministry of Justice and Constitutional Affairs, confirms the ministry has already submitted the two bills on two transitional justice mechanisms to the Council of Ministers for approval.
We have already drafted the bill for Compensation Repatriation Authority, Truth Reconciliation, and now it's in the process to be enacted to a law.
Deng says the bills should address issues to do with the protection of victims and witnesses.
Let there be a safe house established in each and every state where someone who's facing a risk can go for protection. Let the government have agreements with neighboring countries, Kenya, Uganda, Ethiopia, elsewhere, where if someone is facing risk in South Sudan, they can work with the victim and witness protection agencies in those countries to relocate them so that people at least can be assured of some safety. We have so many practical ideas that have been generated that can be put into this draft legislation only if we have the opportunity to contribute and if the process is opened up beyond these few ministers that are reviewing it now to include other stakeholders.
South Sudan in Focus made several attempts to get comments from the Minister of Justice and Constitutional Affairs, Ruben Madol Arol. This program was told the minister would speak when he is ready. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Juba.
From Juba, we move back to Washington here, where the U.S. Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy, announced Tuesday that lawmakers will launch an impeachment inquiry into President Joe Biden, advancing an investigation concerning allegations Biden benefited from his son's Hunter foreign business dealings. VOA's congressional correspondent Catherine Gibson has more from the Capitol Hill.
After months of investigations, House Republican committees will now pursue an impeachment inquiry into U.S. President Joe Biden. Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy.
Through our investigations, we have found that President Biden did lie to the American people about his own knowledge of his family's foreign business dealings.
McCarthy's announcement comes after months of pressure from House conservatives. House Freedom Caucus Chairman Representative Scott Perry.
And I think that any other citizen that had stacked up against him what the president had stacked up against him right now would already be in court.
Democrats say Republicans have failed to turn up any evidence of Biden's supposed wrongdoing after months of investigation, in which tens of thousands of documents were turned over to investigators. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer.
The impeachment inquiry is absurd. The American people want us to do something that will make their lives better, not go off on these chases and witch hunts.
Republicans hold a very slim majority in the U.S. House of Representatives, with just a 5-seat majority over Democrats. Michael Sorning is the director of structural democracy at the Bipartisan Policy Center.
I think it's also possible that those impeachment articles may never reach the Senate. With a slim majority, it's not clear that Republicans can get it across the finish line. They certainly cannot count on any support from Democrats. And so they really have to hold together every one of their members. And if they lose just five of them, they won't be able to pass it.
Some Republicans have expressed concern about pursuing an impeachment inquiry heading into the 2024 election year. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, who has said in the past that impeachments should be a rare process, declined comment Tuesday. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell.
We got our hands full here trying to get through the appropriations process.
The announcement of the inquiry also sets up a showdown between Capitol Hill and the White House, as lawmakers must strike a deal with Biden to keep the government open past a September 30th funding deadline. If there is a government shutdown, House committees would be unable to work on an impeachment inquiry. Catherine Gibson, VOA News.
The Liberian government says it has launched an investigation into the origin of several boxes containing illegal substances confiscated at Roberts International Airport. Dennis Nipson has more from Monrovia.
On Monday, Liberia's leading newspaper, Frontpage Africa, reported the discovery of 100 boxes containing illicit drugs that arrived in Liberia on August 31 through Kenya Airways. The boxes bypassed the watchful eye of the head of security at the Roberts International Airport. Following the revelation, the Liberia Airport Authority disclosed the boxes contain green leaf stevia or organic stevia leaves, also known as moringa and usually used in tea. The leaves were said to be in custom custody and will be turned over to the Liberia Drug Enforcement Agency for further testing. On Tuesday, the Justice Minister, through the Ministry of Information, issued a statement confirming the interception of the boxes. The statement said the seized boxes packaged and in natural form at the Roberts International Airport included methamphetamine. The statement said Justice Minister Councillor Musa Dean has with immediate effect ordered the Joint Security of Liberia as well as LDEA to expand their investigations into the importation of illegal drugs and to bring those involved to book. Neither the Minister of Justice nor Information availed themselves for this report. Micah Gipley is the Public Relations Officer of the Liberia Drug Enforcement Agency.
Following the opening of the cartoons, a substance believed to be narcotic drugs were discovered in these cartoons. And so a sample was taken and was brought to town, and the LDA ran lab testing on the substance. And of course, the result came out to be positive. It is confirmed that indeed those substances believed to be narcotic drugs, they are actually narcotic drugs, and they were tested positive for methamphetamine.
Eddie Jawolo, the executive director of NEMOT, a civil society group promoting democracy and human rights, says he is not satisfied with the government's response.
For DEA to even come on now, after almost 10 days, it's a belated. It actually belated. And I think that even the Ministry of Information, they are all belated. The government should not take the issue about drugs lightly. Drugs can undermine the peace and stability of the country. Since the 30th, according to information, I wrap on the 30th. Today is the 12th. Why took that long to start speaking about it?
In May this year, following months' long trial, a jury in the capital, Monrovia, found four men not guilty of illegal transporting $100 million worth of drugs into Liberia. After their acquittal, the men left the country. The government has yet to tell the public who brought the drugs into Liberia. The latest confiscation of illicit drugs has raised more questions, especially as the country is set to vote in presidential and parliamentary elections on October 10. For VOA's Daybreak Africa, I'm Denise Nipsey in Monrovia, Liberia.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202-630-8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202-630-8011.
If you are in Sudan witnessing events taking place there, or if you have family you are talking to there, you can call us on WhatsApp and let us know how things are going there. Dial the international code +1, then 202-258-3076. The number again, the international code +1, then 202-258-3076.
That's all we prepared for you this Wednesday, September 13, 2023. We now leave you with Dynamic and the song Jere Jere.
All right. Sudanese child. Ooh yeah, ooh yeah, yeah, yeah. Ooh yeah. Ruka music. Auma. Jere jere vidunia de.
Jere jere.
Sibuna si sambala.
Jere jere.
Suwata ta dunia de.
Suwata, suwata.
Nasi mutu sambala. Sana nami lotuko,
lotuko, lotuko, yeah.
Do you fabaja fibe,
fibe, fibe.
Asana nami lokoya,
lokoya, lokoya, ya.
Tere tere bidunia de,
tere tere.
Sibuna si sambala,
tere tere.
Suata ta dunia de,
mama, suata.
Nasi mutu sambala,
suata.
Galiana min America,
Galiana min America.
City wanna sakit e mama,
yeah yeah.
Galiana wewe min Uganda,
tugende Kampala.
Jirana bafata ba,
kufulu,
yeah yeah. Asana na min didinga,
made mundari kuku.
Durujua na min shukul,
durujua na
Asana na minuba,
Mari
Acheye. Jere jere bidunia de,
jere jere.
Sibuna si sambala,
jere jere.
Suwata ta dunia de,
suwata, suwata.
Nasi mutu sambala,
suwata.
Victora ba ainuana, Asan guru stai ma.
We've been listening to Dynamic and the song Jere Jere. Don't forget to visit voaafrica.com for all your favorite programs and news updates. If you miss this program, go to voaafrica.com/South Sudan. I'm your host, John Tanza, on this live broadcast from Studio 14 here in Washington. On behalf of our producer, Kwame Ofori, and engineer, Jumbe Hamza, we wish you a lovely evening. Remember to join us again tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Mama, mama, yeah.